I can post a video sometimes and it does very, very well. And I'll get 20, 30, 40 inquiries just from that one video come through. That I can sit through. It's honestly crazy sometimes. And I can sit there and go, and I can be picky. And as a freelancer, that's the most amazing issue and problem to have in the world, and the most incredible thing to be. If I can sit there and like read a brief and go, I'm not interested. It's not for me.
You're listening to The Angry Designer, where we cut through the industry bull to help frustrated graphic designers survive and thrive.
What's up, Angry Designers? Today, we've got yet another, and we always say this every time we bring someone on, yet another, but I feel like our guests are getting bigger and crazier and wilder. Today, we've got one of the newest, hottest, upcoming internet graphic design celebrities, I guess.
Celebrities.
He's one of Sean's crushes, I'm just going to say. So I want to introduce Mr. CJ Crowley.
Insane intro I think I've ever had in my life.
Okay, celebrities. A little more.
Dude, I mean, I know I'm Sean's like favorite man in the world, but a celebrity is a crazy thing. Guys, thank you so much, honestly, for having me. Like,
I
said this earlier, this is a wild experience for me. Like, you guys have had some serious names on this puppy, right? You guys have had some big boys
and
on
you
here.
You are there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm somehow you're talking to this idiot, which is
somehow.
I don't know whether budget's dried up and you're like, oh, we just got to get some.
We're just scraping the barrel now, man.
You know, but you're out of all the good ones. You're like, let's get that idiot on here. So, guys, thank you so much, man. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, dude, no. So, I mean, for anybody who's been living under a rock. Let me give him a quick update because, again, lately, your Instagram, you've exploded in the past year. And I'm really proud because I think I've been following you for about 6 months or so. And it's just some of the really cool stuff that you've been hitting is the last 3 months. So, you know, impossible to find any information on you online, but that's because you are new, you're hot, and you're screaming up there. So let's just start. Who are you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, yeah. So my name's CJ Cooley. I'm a freelance graphic designer from the UK. I've been doing this for years. I've been doing this like 10 years or so now. So although I look like a baby, I probably look like a kid to most people when I come out. Like when I came out on social media, I think a lot of people must have looked and gone, oh, that's cute. There's a 16-year-old doing design.
It's true though, dude. I'm like, what's that?
I went away to university and studied design and did all that sort of stuff. And then I went off to, I worked within agencies. I worked in-house. I've done it all. And now I've decided just over a year ago now, I quit my job and was like, let's just do this. Let's try and like become a freelance graphic designer, look after myself. I was sick of working for other people. I was sick of someone else telling me when I can go to lunch. I couldn't get my head around something like another human being telling me when I could eat, when I could go away, when I could do stuff. I wasn't very good at it. So I was like, right, I just need to go and do this thing for myself and give it a go. And then somehow, accidentally, it worked. I didn't think it was going to happen like this. I didn't plan on using social media to kind of create this enormous, weird, and wonderful following that I have now. I just needed clients. And then I was just trying to get stuck in and just use a platform to do it. And then it kind of just accidentally worked. And now I'm here speaking to you two bearded, beautiful men. And that's kind of like a very way of explaining the story.
Well, and again, your story, and again, we'll get into more depth about your story, but I love the fact that you went from big agency world to freelance world, and you're making it rock. But you admit, even like saying right from the beginning, some of your videos were shit. And dude, I mean, I thought they were...
Right. Dude, they sucked in the sense that, like, you know, when I look back at it now... You know, like, they could have been, you know, a better storytelling methods being in there, or, like, I could have looked like it wasn't being filmed on a potato, and there's loads of other things that could have made it better, but, you know, they served a purpose, you know? There's a bigger story there. There's the reason I got stuck in with this was because, actually, I was completely high and dry with clients. So, I quit my job really safely, very similar to how Christy did it. So, I was able to... I worked with agencies. I went and worked in some in-house stuff. I got sick of working with agencies because, as amazing as it was, we got to work with some insane brands. You know what I mean? I got honestly some the most fantastic hands-on experience you could ever imagine. But they suck the life out of you, and you know you're working till the middle of the night. You're constantly being asked to do things you don't really want to do anymore. And then there's this kind of clickiness inside of agencies, sort of here in the UK, where You know, if someone's above you, you kind of have to tell them that, you know, their farts smell like roses when they don't. And like, I didn't like yeah. that. I didn't like that kind of clickiness inside of it all. I didn't get on with it. You know, even if I thought maybe someone wasn't as maybe like talented as another designer, but just because they had a separate title, they were better. It was kind of just, I didn't like any of that. So I moved out of there.
Politics.
Yeah, worked in house as a designer for a couple of fantastic places and some really cool places. And then just before I finally decided to go freelance, I got the opportunity. I spoke to my boss at the time and said, like, look, if I'm honest, I'm not loving this, and it's not anything on you or this job or you as a person. So I need to go off and do my own thing. And he was just amazing. Yeah. He was really, really cool. And was like, all right, let's just drop you down. I don't want to lose you, but like, let's drop you down to like part-time and do three cool. to 6 months of that. So he let me just drop down to part-time, and I got to like just dip my toes into freelance. And yeah. I'd been freelancing on the side for like 10 years anyway. So even though I was working in agencies, you don't get paid that much. And the UK is expensive. So I needed to find more work all the time. So I was always like having little clients here and there, even when I was working full time. So when I went part time, I'd already had a few people in the bag, people I'd already had relationships with that I could, you know, still do work for. So it was a real like gentle ease into freelance life. You know, it wasn't like I just quit my job yesterday and then let's give the shit a go. But
yeah.
It kind of did happen like that in the end. So about 3 months into then fully going freelance, things are starting to dry a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I need some clients, and I don't know where to get them, and I've always done it the old school way and kind of been safe doing that because I've always had a job, so it's been okay. But now, like, I literally have bills to pay. I need to keep the roof in my head. What am I going to do? This client comes through the door. It seems really cool, but I get this like horrible feeling inside of me that he's an asshole. And I that sounds really bad. I won't name names, a terrible thing, right? But you just know, like, this isn't going to be a good one. Like, this isn't the guy. This isn't the gig. But I was desperate. I was like, I need the work, right? And the gig was actually a really good pay. So you ignore all those big facts. You're like, oh, no, he's great. He's fine. When you know this isn't going to go well. So I remember sending, like, he had strict timelines, strict deadlines. I was like, yeah, we can meet those. That's absolutely fine. And then it was like, okay, here's 50% deposit before we even get started. I will not pick a pencil up until that 50% good. Lands in the account. I good just won't you. Do it. It took like 10 days for him to finally get around to doing that. So we lose 10 days of this precious timeline that he had. And I made him aware the whole time. I was like, dude, if you want to get to that goal by that date, we need to start here. We're not going to start here because you haven't paid. So come on, like, sort it out. He eventually paid. So these are all just more red flags of like, oh shit, he's going to be a nightmare to work with.
Yes.
So the deposit came in. I put it to the side because I just knew I was sending it back.
You knew.
And I put that money to the side, and I was away on holiday at the time. I got this crazy email from him saying the most mental thing ever. And I was just like, no, fuck this dude, I'm out. I sent the cash back and was like, I don't want to do this gig. But then I got home from holiday and was literally like, holy shit, I have no work. That's it now. It's gone. Mm. No work. I'm running out of money, and I'm sending money back. So I'm like writing this shit now. So then you sit there. When your back's against the wall, you're like, well, what do I do? And I'm watching all these other creators that I've been watching for years, because I've been watching them whilst I've been working in agencies and just enjoying watching design content. Watch, you know, that's my world. I love it. And I'm watching them kill it. And I'm watching they, you know, or supposedly killing it. You never know really what's going on behind closed doors, but fair it enough. Looks like it's all good. So I'm like, okay, everyone's getting stuck in. They're making these videos. They're doing this shit. I've got a lot of time on my hands. I've quit my job. I've got client work to do. So I better start making some fucking videos and trying to like show that I can do this as a gig. And so I just got stuck in, and I had like, you know, 10 years of old work in hard drives. So I was like, let's show people how I made stuff. Let's show people how I made this really crappy logo. And so it kind of just started from there. And dude, I was making videos Monday to Monday, nonstop, making shit, chucking it, seeing if it worked. And then eventually something just worked, and it kind of now I'm here doing this crazy shit. It's genuinely insane, dude. Genuinely insane.
So what do you feel like, at what point with your transition in Instagram do you feel like that things started changing? Like, what were you doing different that made it work? Because your early stuff was still great. I mean, man, the past 6 months, not even really, the past 4 months.
Four months, good on you, man. I'm really proud of you. Yeah, it's been a wild thing, dude. It's been, there's a few crazy, we'll call them trade secrets, that I'm fully going to share with everyone, because I don't hold anything back. I tell everyone, right? So there's a few things that maybe I've done to kind of get to this situation or wherever I am. But I think what changed is I just figured out how to tell better stories. And I think that's all content really is ultimately, like, think about it, right? Like, when you want to watch a movie, you're happy to sit down for 2 hours in front of a TV or a cinema screen, not move, hold in a wee because you desperately need to go, but you are captivated by the story, right? So this whole, like, excuse of, like, people don't really, you know, they have short attention, it's kind of bullshit. It's what we say because we feel better about, like, well, short attention spans these days, they didn't watch my video, it's not my fault. And the truth is they didn't watch the video because it sucked. And the story sucked. And it didn't get them in. It didn't hook people into being like, what's going to happen next, you know? Like, so storytelling is a really, really big part of it. And I started to figure this out. I read a lot of books that aren't about design but about other things anyway, so I kind of had this idea. I was like, okay, well, storytelling is a really good, like, maybe a better way. How do I inject that into mine, you know? How do I create a story out of making a logo or having a crappy client or things that designers can relate to? And so you kind of break it into those three acts. You kind of, you know, you set the scene and you create a conflict and then there's a resolution. So every video I started making, I had that mentality of like, okay, well, let's set the scene. You know, who am I? I'm a designer. And then there's this conflict where, oh, fuck, I can't get this logo to work in a certain way. How do I do this thing? And then I figure it out. And then people, they're in and they're watching it, right? And because they know that there's something's going to happen by the end of it. And they kind of got in. Yeah. So that was super helpful. The minute I found that worked. And now it's about just like, how do you make the story better? How do you bring in new arcs, new characters, everything? I know it sounds absolutely insane.
And you are. You're doing such a great, you're right. Sometimes, because you're narrating yourself.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so entertaining to watch and learn.
Yeah. So then there's like all these different ways of creating videos, right? So there's like, okay, how do I can show it silently where I just point at stuff and make stupid faces, right? But everyone can understand, you know, understanding any language, that's a great way to do it. But then there's times where I do a talk where those ones where I like speak over the top of myself is the way I imagine like younger CJ to be with older CJ. So you got, you know, older 30-year-old CJ who's lived a little bit, younger 20-year-old CJ who was just beginning, and it's like teaching him what I wish he would have known then. So it's like, you know, when I say to myself, like, oh, you know, do you know the principles of three principles of logos? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Because I didn't. When I was 20, I didn't know. And there's a bunch of other 20-year-olds out there that didn't know as well. So, and don't know. So it's like my older self teaching my younger self. And there's a nice way to tell a story and teach something at the same time. So that really kind of, like, when I started getting that changed. I was like doing like tiny little numbers on video views, which I was still super stoked about. It was never about trying to get like video views or followers or anything. I was like, I just need clients. I need money. Like, I need to, like, I'm hungry and like I'm scared of being cold. So I need to keep a roof over my head. I don't want to not be able to turn my heating on. So it was really just about finding clients. And then the rest of it kind of become an accident, really.
So then with the finding clients point, a lot of designers are, they don't want to go down the Instagram, you know, route at all, or TikTok or social media, because they're thinking, how am I going to find a customer? My customers aren't going to be there. My customers are on LinkedIn or at networking events. So is this the case in your experience?
No, not in my 100% of my jobs come from Instagram and TikTok. 100%. Every single one of them. Mm. And it gets to, like, sometimes I can do a video. It sounds fucking crazy. And this isn't the norm. So I don't want people in a million years to think this is a very normal way to do this. Maybe there's something crazy going on right now. I don't know. I always believe it can go completely wrong any minute now too. But I can post a video sometimes and it does very, very well. And I'll get 20, 30, 40 inquiries just from that one video come through. That I can sit through. It's honestly crazy sometimes. And I can sit there and go, and I can be picky. And as a freelancer, that's the most amazing issue and problem to have in the world, and the most incredible thing to be. So I can sit there and like read a brief and go, I'm not interested. It's not for me.
Yes.
Insane. Yes. Not normal. So anyone watching or listening to this, don't think that's how it works. It has happened for me. And that has been from doing these videos and showing people stuff. But I know exactly what you mean. There's a massive argument in our space about, you know, like doing the illustrator tips and stuff like that. And I do that for designers. Designers learn stuff. But clients come across that. And what happens is they see someone teaching. And when they see someone teaching, it positions that person as an expert in their field. So when a client looks at me and goes, well, if he's teaching 300,000 people, he must know what he's going on about. So I want to work with that dude. Do you know what I mean? So there's another space. There's all these different, you know, people. So when I make a video about, so this is how I try to do it. And I'm so sorry because I'm rambling on and basically.
No, please. I love it.
That's great.
Basically, I try to make like three styles of videos. There's a video where I can inspire people, I can educate people, and then I can show creativity. So that's amazing. When I, like, if I want to show creativity, that's where I'm going to break down how I made a logo, Mark, right? How I came up with an idea. Right. I show you the brief, I show you the problems, I figure that out. So what that does is, and inside of that video, I'll show people how I use tools and stuff. So designers sit there and go, oh, sick, you used that tool there. That's really interesting. That's really cool. How did you do that? But then, like, potential clients go, oh, that's how he tackled a brief. That's how he tackled an industry problem. That's great. So even though the video is actually built for two people and they're enjoying, like, someone's enjoying it for a different reason completely, which again, sometimes that's not even a conscious thing when I'm making it, but it just is. Like, when you make the video and I show you how I build a logo, there's something about it that's quite, you know, fascinating maybe to watch, but it also shows that, okay, he's creative and he can come up with solutions and great. So he knows what he's doing. And then designers go, oh, actually, that's, I love the way he built that, or I don't love the way he built that, which is also a very good thing when you have lovely conflict between opinions, which is always a good thing to have. When you put those two together, you get fantastic videos, you know, fantastic storytelling, people that are genuinely interested, and then your emails end up just being, like, landed with clients, and it's just, dude, I feel like I've won the lottery, and like, genuinely, yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've won the lottery. It's an insane thing. Like, if you guys have known where I've come from and where I've been to then where I am today, this is just gnarly.
Absolutely. It's a cool. Well, the blessing is because you figured out this formula and what works for you, right? Mm. And I mean, your personality, you're legit, you're authentic, you're online, people get this. You know, you're teaching, like you said, 300,000 plus people on a daily basis. People are following you, and you've achieved that expert status in clients' eyes. Exactly. And I mean, that's something that we're always professing. We're like, you know, designers need to elevate their services, their skills, the way they speak, the way their mannerisms, so they attain that expert. Yeah. As soon as you lose that, you're done. Right? Your rates are dropped. They're not going to respect you.
Exactly. Like, I'm a big believer that, look, when I was studying design, I worked with other designers that were incredible, like that would kick my ass in executing work all day long.
Yes.
And
yes.
They were amazing. But maybe they sucked at selling their work. And that was something that I tapped into very, very early in university. I knew. I was like, I can't make the best possible executed mark, but maybe I can find a way to convince someone that it's the best possible executed mark, right? And I actually spent, this is wild, and I don't know if I even maybe would suggest doing this, but I did this. This is, in my time, this is what I did, is it was, I did my first year of university and figured out, like, I said, okay, it sounds like we need to, you know, we were always presenting ideas. That was a big part of our degree. It was actually a really small, tight-knit group of, it was very unique for, you know, university here in the UK. Usually courses are like 80 to 100 people. And mine was like 20 people, 15, even down to 10 by the last year, which was great because it had like really concentrated advice from lecturers and things like that, which was awesome. But we figured out that we were always presenting ideas. That was the thing. It was like, okay, go away, do this, and then rationalize your ideas to me and convince me that this is the right direction to solve this problem. So I figured this out really early and was like, okay, we now have like a 6-week break till the second year of my university. And I spent the entire 6 weeks watching Jordan Belfort, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
he did a seminar of like basically how to sell, how to influence people, basically in an ethical way. After he went to prison and did awful stuff, came out did good stuff, and it was amazing. So I spent an entire 6 weeks studying and figuring out how to articulate storytelling properly, like words properly, how to present an idea to someone, how to make someone truly believe in something. And then when you put that together with it being able to execute logos, you get hopefully a fantastic graphic designer that's able to then share, because you got to think you're trying to talk to a non-creative half the time. I know you guys get this because you work in the B2B world, right? And a lot of the time in the B2B world, they're not creative minded.
It's even further.
They see everything in just like black and white and
it's pretty rough
numbers, dude. Right? So you
and
have
to top it off.
Yes, so you have to have a way of being able to translate creativity into a language that they can understand. So I started to figure this out really early on. I was like, okay, well, like, I can talk a load of fluff, but if it's going to go straight over their heads, this, like, it's pointless, right? Like, there's no point in me telling me, like, oh, we use this particular certain grid that did this, because they're just going to switch off. They're going to be like, I don't give a fuck about that. Talk to me about how this is going to change my business and make me money. And so I figured that out. So I was like, okay, let's put these two worlds together. And that's what I kind of went away and did. And that's still kind of how I do what I do now, and how I present to clients, how I do all that.
Buddy, honestly, you just touched on probably one of the strongest points that I've been a believer of since day one of having my business. And, you know, like you just said, even in college and when I started, I was far from the best, you know, graphic designer in my crew. I really was. I was creative as hell, right? I was in that sense because of the way my mind worked. But it was struggle for me to make that happen. Yeah. But I had so much more hustle than the rest of them did. And in my opinion, right, hustle trumps talent. And that's what you did. In between your courses, you recognized in your first year, you know, that you weren't at the top of the class. And you hustled during that summer. You watched The Wolf of Wall Street, which is fucking mind-blowing.
Who knows how to sell better than The fucking Wolf of Wall Street? You know what I mean? Like, you've got to go out and do that. Look, I'm not great at loads of stuff, right? I can draw some shit and I can do stuff on here, but I'm not great at other stuff. So you've got to lean on other people. You can't try and do it all yourself. Yeah. You know, if something can work really, really well, it's what I have conversations with my clients about. And I say the same thing to them. It's like, look, you really want your business to flourish. You know, maybe you have a gym or a coffee shop or whatever that is. Like, you know coffee, but you don't have a fucking clue about making logos. So leave it to me. Let me get stuck in with that. And the same way, like, I don't know fuck all about making coffee, and I'm not going to try and teach you how to do it or give you a hard time about it. And it's the same thing. So once you figured that out, and then it was figuring out how to tell someone that politely and do that and have the confidence to be able to go, look, you know, I'm the expert here. I'm going to teach you how to do this thing. So I went away and figured out who was the most confident dude who now had to sell things to people. Yeah. What a bell for, man. So at that time, it was like 2014, 2015. So this was like kind of the film, I think, had been out a little while. It was kind of big. I'd read his book, and then he had this, it was called the Straight Line Persuasion Seminar, and it was like the great, I think I like found I might get arrested for this, like a bootlegged version somewhere on the internet, right? I was poor. I had no money. I was a young student, and I literally lived on my own. I had nothing, so I bootlegged this thing to figure out how to do this, and it was the best thing I ever did.
Like on LimeWire.
I didn't have LimeWire. No, I didn't use that. I didn't download that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't know.
So then going back with this, okay, so some people, they go to school and they make an excuse. No, I got to school. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to take jobs. And you kind of went the other way. While you were in school, you landed a job, didn't you?
I did, dude. Yeah. So again, this is also not normal and doesn't happen all the time. So I was super lucky this happened. But again, what was special about the university I was in was that we did live briefs. So a lot of the work you were doing was for actually real clients that were going on outside the university. So the university were going out, finding small businesses or, you know, entities and things like that, and asking them to say, look, is there anything you need doing? We're going to give it to our students and they're going to present it to you. And then you can get it for free, basically. But the students get real experience of creating something for a client that they don't know, presenting it to them, getting rejected, seeing how it feels to have your heart broken, and off you go into the world, right? It's a smart idea. It makes complete sense.
It is.
I loved that. So I it was the first gig. This was like the first year, again, of university. And this client came in, and this was for Film Western, which is a whole other story we can talk about in a bit. So this was for a film festival that's happening in my local town of like this beach that was just doing this lovely charitable festival. It was awesome. And it was to go away, create the mark for it, create this kind of like a few little materials and touch points for the festival to go away and do that. So that's what I went and did. And the original logo sucked. The execution was horrendous. I can't wait to share it with everyone. I'm going to show everyone how bad it was, because it's really, it's good to show people that just because I am where I am now doesn't mean I was born good at it. I sucked. I had to learn how to do stuff. So, but the idea was exactly the same. It was a donkey that was turned into like an old Super 8 sort of style film camera. And we had to present the idea. So I presented the idea, and I won, which was sick. The idea got chosen. I was like, this is awesome. But it turned out that the people that were running this, they owned a creative agency. And so they said, look, we love that. We loved him. We want to take him. And we're going to give him like work experience for 2 weeks. That's how it started. And I was like, shit, I've been like doing design in university for a year, and I got a design gig. This is cool, right? I'm buzzing. So I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I'm totally in. I'll work for free or do whatever it takes. So I went and worked for this agency. It's a tiny little agency at the time. And there was literally a couple of people in like doing little bits and bobs in places in this tiny little like barn out in the middle of a farm, basically. But I didn't give a shit. I was buzzing. I was like, yeah, man, like I'm living the dream. This is happening. This is so cool. So I went and worked for these guys every Thursday and Friday for like 3 or 4 weeks. And whilst I was in university, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. I was in the agencies Thursday and Friday, but I lived and worked in a hotel at the same time, working
crazy
Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, Saturday nights, and Sundays. And I worked until like 4 a.m, like doing weddings and all this crazy shit, right? This is like the most wild time of my life. I don't know how I didn't die of like malnutrition and like
perseverance.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I went and worked for these guys and got all this like lovely experience. And I remember, so the first gig they gave me was to design a logo for it was for a dog retreat place or something like that. But basically it was like a dog daycare, but it was apparently paradise for these dogs. They had like TVs in their kennels and stuff, right? So I was like, oh, this is sick, this is cool. So I did it, and I got to present it to this. Now I'm not even in university. Now I'm in this, like, you know, I've been in university for at this point like months, and now I'm in this creative agency drawing logos and presenting it to a complete stranger saying, check this out, what do you think? And they're like, oh, I like this, can we change this, can we do this? It's just wild experience for a young designer whilst he's studying at the same time. So I'm getting to study and I'm getting real life industry experience, where you're getting like, there's no more niceness of like tutors being like, oh, that's okay, like it's okay, like people are just like, this sucks, this is shit, it's not good enough. So you know, that's happening. Yeah, I'm presenting ideas to real life clients at the same time as like learning, you know, from university and stuff. So I'm getting like the best of both worlds. Like, I'm incredibly lucky for this happening, which is wild. Like, that's not normal. But so I did this for a few weeks, and then those few weeks kind of turned into like, oh, I just want to come back next week. I was like, okay. And then it kind of just kept happening. And it's then like after like working for these guys for free for a long time, but I was like, I didn't give a shit. I was like, this is awesome. So I was like getting the train everywhere. I was, you know, I was just doing anything I could to work in this, in this industry and do whatever it took to be there. I think about like maybe 7 or 8 months of working for these guys completely for free, they were like, look, you can start billing us. So you'll basically work for the agency as a freelancer, so you can kind of bill us. And I was billing them, I think it was like £12 an hour, which at the time was like, I was like, price stinker cash. This is awesome. this is sick. Because I worked in a hotel and we were getting paid like £7 an hour or some shit like that. It was like terrible. So I was like, oh, £12 an hour, I'm coloring every day. This is so good. So I did that. All the way through my entire degree, the entire 3 years, and I watched the agency grow at the same time. The agency was growing. We moved out into a bigger offices. We hired more people. And I was right at the forefront of it all. I got to go from like 4 of us in a room to like 12 of us in a room. It was fucking epic. And then the day I graduated, I was at my graduation for university, and my boss rang me, who is actually, he's from Canada, lives on Vancouver Island, and he rang me. He ran the agency from there. It was why he did wonderful stuff. He brought a lot of American clients in and stuff like that. And he rang me and was like, dude, you graduated today? I was like, yeah. And he was like, cool, do you want a job? I was like, yeah, I've been fucking doing it for 3 years. Let's go. Yeah. So, he gave me a gig, he gave me a salary, and I got to go straight out. Literally, the day out of university, walked straight into a junior design position in this agency, and just got to work with some like just mega brands. You know, like some crazy. We were working on like Yamaha and over here, like Compare the Market, and Costa Coffee. Like, I was young. Like, I'm 20, like 21, 22 at this point, maybe. And fresh out of uni, and I'm literally being handed like, draw a boat for Yamaha, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like drawing like perfect line drawing boats for fucking Yamaha, and like sending it back like, please don't name me, please don't. And they're like, yeah, it's great. I'm like, oh my god, this is like, it's a horrible experience, really. For like, it was like being thrown in the deepest end possible and just hoping you survive. But I somehow
Great rush. It sounds like an amazing, I mean, again, that's kind of the experience I would dream about, but I think other people would be terrified to do. So good on you.
Yeah, especially dude, it takes a certain person, I think, to be able to do that. I don't, you know, that's not like that. Like I say, you know, this isn't normal, and that situation wasn't normal. And on top of all of that, like, that sounds great, like, from the way I just explained it, but there was a lot of shit along the way of that, and it was a lot of, you know, I missed out on a lot of stuff. I didn't see a lot of my friends, a lot of my family, man. I gave a lot of way to do that. I gave my entire life over to it, and that's kind of why I left the agency in the end, because I just, I just said, you know, I just woke up one day after, like, I think I'd been with them for, like, maybe 5 or 6 years at that point, and I was like, okay, I've literally done nothing but this. I've experienced nothing. I've not gone on holiday anywhere. I've not built any kind of relationship with anyone. I've not, all I've known is like, be a designer, be a designer, be a designer, work for an agency. Like, you can fucking do this. And I gave it everything. I wanted it more than anyone. I was just, and I was the same way. Everyone in uni, they were like, we're going out tonight to do this. I was like, cool. I got to go back to the hotel. I got to work as it is anyway. And also, I got to fucking figure this thing out. And I got to learn how to do this next thing. And I was learning anything I could to just be better. And it came with serious sacrifice, like a horrendous sacrifice, really.
But you know what? Sacrifice is necessary. You're right. You've missed out. But at 25 then, right, you've made sacrifices, which, let's face it, up until that point, the sacrifices are party nights, you know, maybe vacations are good experiences, right? And at 25, you gain more experience than some people have their entire graphic design career. Yeah. And I mean, you're still young as hell, and what you've accomplished.
Stop flirting.
So, no, he's the one who's flirting.
Hey, sorry.
Back off, man.
But it's in that sense, I mean, sacrifice is something that people are scared of in this space. But what you've accomplished in that short amount of time was, you know, unimaginable to some people, right? Yeah,
and think of it, too. What you went through right out of the gate, you're prepared for anything now, dude.
Like, yes. So this is
what a great trial by fire.
I'm really like proud of it. And now I think it's funny. Like, the older you get, you guys know you know, live longer than me. When you're younger, you are maybe a little bit more, you know, you feel like the world's doing horrible stuff to you, or you just get a little bit like, oh, you know, it's not my fault and all that kind of stuff. And the older you get, you realize that actually all those things that happened to you are incredible. Like, I'm so grateful for all the terrible shit that happened.
Because
it's made me a beast. Like, there's not much someone can chuck at me and I'm like, fucking, let's do it. Like, bring it. I did it young. Like, I did it really, really young. I moved out of my house when I was 16 years old. I never looked back. I didn't have a great kind of upbringing or anything like that. I left very, very early in life. And just looked after myself and lived on my own, lived in people's fucking like houses on their sofas, lived in this hotel for years and worked in the hotel, literally in a hotel room. Whilst I was studying design and becoming a designer, I worked like fucking 40, 50 hours in this hotel and did all of this, right?
Yeah.
And like just fully isolated on my own, no friends, couldn't drive, never been abroad, had no money, probably minus money in my account. And the crazy story that I won't explain too much now, but basically the owner of the hotel I was very good friends with, this is a massive hotel, like a 30-bedroom hotel. We did like weddings for like 200-300 people at a time, decided to look at me one day. I was 21 at the time. And he looked at me and was like, look, I need to go off and run another hotel. So can I leave this with you whilst I go do that? And genuinely, at 21,
fucking amazing.
In my third year of university, graduating, I was running this hotel, paying everyone's wages. I was in a kitchen cooking 3-course meals for weddings. So I used to chef and things. So I was a chef whilst I studied as well. And I was doing this, and then I'd be out in a shirt and tie announcing the bride and groom into a room, getting back in, creating fucking desserts, getting them out.
Amazing.
And like, do this till like 4 in the fucking morning, right? Like, so like, I had this really, like, there was no, like, no one gave me shit. No one helped me out. There was no. Like, life didn't give me the cards to be like, you've got this, Siege, off you go. Like, if anything, it was doing anything it could to probably try and stop me from doing it.
Amazing.
But I was just like, fucking, I'm not. I truly believed I could do more than just that. And I knew I could. But there was days I really didn't think I could. There's days where you just think, this is as good as it's get. Maybe this is just for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do this. But now, like I said, I'm a fucking animal. Like, when that happens and you go through that. And then I was made homeless out of that hotel because basically the owner did a runner and left it with me because he wasn't paying any of his bills. So then one day bailiff turned up to this hotel, knocked on the door on a Sunday morning. I'm there in the kitchen prepping for this wedding. I come to the front door, these two bailiffs are there. They open the doors and I'm like, what's up? And they're like, the hotel's gone into liquidation. You've got no job. You can't do a wedding today. And I'm 21. Like, literally looking at him like, what do you mean? He's like, you can't do the wedding. It's gone into liquidation. You've got no job. And I lived here. Like, this is my house as well. So I'm literally like,
holy shit.
You suck. That's not happening. Like, there's no way I'm telling a bride that she's not getting married today. Fuck that. Yes. Not happening. Like, I will die. So I ended up talking to a couple of the people that worked with me who I really, really trusted and really, really loved, if they could help me out. And we did the wedding completely for free. And we gave them all the booze for free because we were like, fuck this dude, fuck this owner.
Let's go to the government otherwise.
We got rid of it all. And then, within 2 weeks, dude, I had to be out of that hotel. I had nowhere to go. And this was at the same time I was just starting my agency job. I was like, things are so good. I was like, oh, I'm going to start this agency job. It's going to be so good. And I'm like, I'm fucking homeless. This sucks. And I have no money. And like, oh, it was just, so when all that kind of shit happens to you, like, when someone comes to you and they go, they don't like your logo, you're like, yeah, okay, cool, don't care. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't mean anything to you. Like, you're okay. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're okay.
That's okay. So, dude, like, I mean, okay. You are the one who had the man crush on him, but I'm grown one really quickly. Like, your story, your perseverance is fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah, I had no idea about that.
What kept you going through all this? Because so many people would have been like, oh, whoa, especially at that age.
Yeah,
they would have been crying. I never realized.
It was rough, man. And like, dude, that's a super tiny condensed version of it. Like, there was like,
fair.
I was owed thousands of pounds. I never got paid. Like, I was minus money. I ended up moving into this tiny, I found a house share basically where I could rent a room. And it was in the middle of this village. And like I said, I didn't drive at the time. Like, I was in my 20s. I didn't have a license. I never had any money to go and drive. So I had to like walk like an hour to get home from the train station to get to work for this new agency. And then I was renting this room for £400 a month. And this room was so small that I could put one hand on one wall, one hand on the other wall. And that was the room,
incredible.
Right? And I lived there for like 6-7 months, I think. And I said to myself, like, I was on my ass. Like, can you imagine going, like, I've just graduated uni. I'm going to work in this agency and it's going to be kick-ass, right? And then at the same time, you're like, fuck, I've got literally no one to turn to. I'm living in this fucking room with a stranger. And I don't know what to do about it. Like, how did this happen? How did I work so hard and be at the rock bottom, right? Like, when you've done those two things, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So you want to lose your mind. You want to get angry and you want to blame the world. You want to say, like, you know, it's everyone else's fault but mine or whatever. And maybe there's truth in that, I don't know. But I just knew that this wasn't it. Okay, there's something inside of you. I speak to a very good friend of mine called Jack Chi, another designer that you're probably aware of. He's an absolute angel. And we both say the same thing. We truly believe that we were made for more than what we were doing at the time. And then things happen in your life that make you realize that. And even in those moments of just absolute, like, what am I going to fucking do? Like, how has this happened? You just truly believe you can get out of it even when everything's against you. I can't give it to you in any other substance than just something inside you. It's so fucking cliche and stupid to say, but it's true. No, like, there's something in there. I'm like, I've got to be able to do more than, like, surely this isn't it. Like, surely this isn't as good as my life gets. Like, if this is, fuck, this sucks and I don't want to do it, this is awful, so like I gotta be able to do more. And you just keep going, you get knocked down, you go up again, and I just get battered and battered and battered, and you know, and it's still the same way now. Look, just as my life fucking fantastic now in its sense, and I'm not rich in any way, shape or form, but I have a house which is awesome, and I have some clothes, and I have food, I have a wonderful girlfriend that I love, I have this stupid little cat called Randall that I think is incredible, and I get to go drive around sleeping, and like, I'm stoked, like, I'm so happy, and I get paid every day to color in. I draw shit and someone goes, here's some money, dude. I'm living the dream, and this is all I could see this was going to happen, but it was the 10 years I was 10 years too soon. I was like, I can get there, I can get there, and I was just too I needed to be patient, I needed to be seasoned, I needed to be beaten up a little bit, I think, because this industry needed to beat you up. I think, like, for you to do this, you've got to be resilient. You know, you can't have a weak heart. This thing's savage. It can tear you apart if you're not careful.
Yeah. So wait, let me ask you then. So, which side has been worse? You know, savage from working under agencies or savage working solo?
Oh, mate, they both have their issues either way. Now, working in agencies is great because you get to, you know, working with other creators is wonderful. Bouncing ideas off somebody else is absolutely fantastic. Having just, you know, general camaraderie with somebody, seeing other people is lovely. But you're making another person very, very rich. That is the truth of it. You're just a cog in a wheel, and someone else is taking the glory. And when it all goes wrong, it's your fault. When it all goes right, it's not based on you. You know, and there's all these other issues that came with that. And I fucking hated that so much. Freelance, okay, it can be incredibly lonely. But, you know, like, I'm a very sociable dude, and I love, you know, I love making friends, and I love meeting new people and things like that. So I knew, I was like, oh, if I go freelance, like, I'm fully out on my own. But that's changed now. Like, I hop on calls every single week with Jack. Like, we sit down together, we do exactly this, and it's like having a workmate, which is awesome.
But at the
same time, I'm doing the whole nine yards, right? I'm not only just being a logo designer, you're the accountant, you're trying to figure it all out. You're doing the admin, doing the client management. Yeah. You do everything, right? Which is fucking stressful and horrible and not always enjoyable. Like, do you know what I mean? So look, it swings and roundabouts. I think for me, what I just love more than anything is the freedom to be able to just sit in my office and make stuff and create stuff and be in control. And then I'm like, I'm hungry, I'm gonna go get food. I don't have to tell another human being that I'm gonna go and do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to tell, like, hey, sir, can I go and eat? And they're gonna be like, no, you can't.
It's not your turn.
So it's not your turn as like this cog in the wheel doing shit. So look, I love being a freelancer. It outweighs everything about working in a creative agency for me. And that's just for me. That does not mean in a million years that if you want to work in a creative agency that it's gonna suck. It just, for me, I didn't love it. I wasn't built to do it. That's all it was.
Yeah. So, but then is work, so Sean's been freelance. I've always been agency from day one.
So
we come from very different places. Is freelance sustainable long term? That's my question. Because often my experience with freelancers, you'd hire them, and then the good ones start either A, getting so damn busy, you're at the bottom of their list, unless you're basically bidding for the highest dollars, or they get scooped up and you become a side gig, which just means you kind of get left out. So, you know, is it long-term sustainable?
It is. Do you know what? I can't even comment on whether it's long-term sustainable because I've only been freelancing for about a year now. And okay, projection-wise of what the things look like for me right now, it looks like it's going to be sustainable. But, you know, I'm in full awareness. Life has shown me that it likes to change whenever the fuck it wants, that it could change if it wanted to. Do you know what I mean? Like, things could, you know, Instagram could die tomorrow and then there's a new app where kids are badass at it and I'm an old dinosaur and I have no idea what's going on, right? So, like, I could be brown bread tomorrow. But, you know, I think it's sustainable right now as long as you just – I'm always thinking what does 3 years from now look like? What does 5 years from now look like? What am I trying to do to get there? I'm not thinking about – the moment. I mean, that's happening kind of like autopilot. I'm always thinking like, well, shit, this is great now, but what, you know, can I still do this in 2 years? Can I still do this in 5 years? Can I still do this in 10 years? And I'm always trying to, you try to predict as much as you can of what the future looks like. You try to predict, you know, is there going to be a new form of marketing yourself? Is there going to be a new form of working? Is AI going to take over the world and you're going to be, you know, useless? Who knows? I don't know any of that sort of stuff. All I know is that I'm going to do my best to try and make this as sustainable as I can. If it doesn't happen, that's on me. I fucked up. If it does, great. That's on me, and I nailed it. But I can't blame the world for it.
Let me ask you then. What is your – and this might be a weird question, a loaded question, but then what is your definition of being a freelancer?
Oh, man. Because
what's the difference between a freelancer, solopreneur?
Yeah.
Are you hiring contract? You know what I mean?
That's
what
so
exactly
true, isn't
does
it?
That look like?
Look, I think I call myself a freelance graphic designer because I think I don't know any other word to explain it. So that's just what I use, right? There's all these other words. There's solopreneur. Like, I'm running a creative business, so you could say I'm an entrepreneur. You could say I'm doing this or whatever. But for me, a freelance graphic designer is someone who's just they're doing this and they own and they like to taste different stuff. And I think that's what I love more than anything. I like to work with multiple people. I like to work with different things. I like to work with, you know, 1 minute I'm making a illustrative tattoo styled logo. The next I'm doing a crazy minimal abstract logo for a tech company. Right. And I love that about it is that you have this utter creative freedom to go off and taste and try, and it's all on you to do it. And also being a freelancer means that you know, you're gonna do other shit as well. It's not about just being a designer. You like every aspect of business, every aspect of communication. You like to tell stories, you like to market yourself, you like to do all these other things that come with being a freelancer. So I think that's kind of how I define it, which is just being a creative businessman. That's where I would put myself. Right.
Fair enough. Actually, I like that. Awesome. I love that. That's probably a better way. Coin that term, man. Yes. It's yours.
Yes. It's mine. I can use it, Sean. I swear to God, if I see you use it. I mean,
wait a second. I was writing that down.
No, we've got to record it, dude. Don't do it to me.
All right. So going back, I think the best thing about the industry that we're in, of course, is just like you said, we can taste all the different parts.
Yeah, dude.
You know, me from a full agency perspective, I was selfish. I wanted to do it all. I wanted to do video. I wanted to do web. I wanted to just kind of spread my seeds as wide and far as they fucking went. Okay, that was my goal. Okay.
I like
how
that.
Far do your seeds go, man?
Do you?
There goes the PG rating on this.
Yeah, that's gone now. We can't monetize this now. Fuck.
Your logo stuff's always amazing. Okay, and that's what I see. Your logo, your corp ID work. It's amazing to watch and go through. Do you go deeper? Are you just 100%?
Yeah. Like I said, when I worked in agencies, we were doing everything from, you know, I did a lot of print stuff. We worked in a lot in the print world. I love print so much. It's something that I think I get more excited about. That I actually didn't fucking like digital that much. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't like it that much. I like tactile stuff. I like being able to touch it. That's why I do my own personal projects where I make things. I make skateboards and surfboards.
Very cool.
These cups, like these metal cups and stuff. Like, I love it etched onto there and burnt into it. There's actually a naked booby lady here. Again, I love making stuff. I like the physical stuff, right? So when I was working in agencies, that's what we did. We did all the print and we did all that kind of stuff. And I loved doing all of that. So we were doing like everything, like I said, in the print world, we actually helped a lot of products come to market. So the idea is like someone would come up with an amazing idea for a product. Usually something that was like sustainable, really good for the planet, really good for people. Wonderful. But they didn't maybe have the money to get it to market, or they didn't know the know-how. So we actually worked with this wonderful like manufacturing company at the time who would like manufacture products. While that was being manufactured, we'd help them run like Kickstarter campaigns to help them get the money to like fund it. I would then help them brand that product, create the packaging for that product. We'd then build Shopify like websites for that product. We'd help do Facebook marketing for that product. We'd go out and shoot stuff for that product. We'd do everything, right? So I got to go and play in all the sandboxes, and I still like to do that now because I love it. I'm an all-round creative dude. I love logo design. Logo design is sexy in Instagram. That's the truth of it. But if I was going to show you how I'd put together this 64 fucking page white papers for an agency, you'd go, I'm bored of this, right? It's not sexy. Yeah. But I like doing it still. I love layout design. I love meticulously kerning type and typesetting stuff. I still play with all that. I build Shopify stores for people. I do all of these things. These are all other assets that come out the other end of a job. And I think a lot of the time people come to me for logo design, and then that opens up the conversation. We get to, absolutely, and there's nothing better than like getting to be the, like, I get to like birth an idea into the world, right? I'm not trying to say I'm a doctor, but I'm kind of like a doctor. All right. So someone comes to me with an idea and they're like, oh,
brand doctor.
You know, I've got this idea for this product. I'm like, cool, let's brand it. Let's make it beautiful. Let's create this amazing mark for it. Oh, we've got a mark. Cool. How does it look? How does it talk? How does it sell? What does the packaging look and feel and touch and smell like? And we get to do all these wonderful things at the end of it, right? So, and then I'm like the parent of it, which is amazing. So I get to become a doctor of the idea and a parent of the idea, and I get to do all that stuff in between. I don't want to do just one. I like to do it all. I do. But
yeah, fair enough.
I like to, you know, that's how I start the conversation. It's look, let's make a beautiful mark together, and then we can go off and do all the other lovely creative stuff afterwards.
See, it's interesting. It's like the mark is the gateway to so much more work, but people don't realize that. A lot of people stop at the logo, which to me is you're leaving so much on the table and so much of stuff, you know. I love watching logos. You're right; it's sexy to watch on Instagram. But I mean, when you're getting into it, if I was to do only that every day, I'd probably get bored pretty quickly.
Yeah, you do. Like, I've had it with just where periods where it's been maybe just like a couple of months where just products have all fallen just at the same time where I'm just making marks, I'm just making logos. Yeah. That fucking sucks. I hate that month. That month's the worst month ever because, you know, I like to dip in and out of everything. Like, I'll be making a mark and I'll be like, I don't like this. This is hurting my head and I can't figure this out. So if you then have to go over and the next job you want to do, like, yeah, I'm going to get away from that one. I'm going to go do something else, right? But if that's another mark, God, like, you just sometimes again, right? Like, it sucks. But if the next job's like, okay, let's figure out how to, like, build this website, make it mobile. It's like, okay, I'm out of the woods. I'm in this new world where I get to go and play for a bit. My idea is something. Whilst that's happening, another idea. It's like, oh yeah, shit, yeah. I could do that to that. And you're like, put that to the side, back over to the mark. Like that versatility and creativity. Same thing with then, like, you know, sometimes if I can't, I literally did this today. I'm working on a logo now. I'm really stoked about it. It actually has turned out fantastic. But about halfway through, I couldn't get this thing to do its thing. I couldn't get it to do what I wanted to do. So I went and built a TV cabinet that I had downstairs because I was like, I'm going to go and do another thing where I get, it's like a creative thing. I'm building and making and putting these things together. Yep. And I was doing it and I was like, fuck, that's how got I do it. That thing. Straight back upstairs, in I went, played, got it right, nailed it. Awesome, right? So I'm a massive advocate for, like, just there's an, like, the whole thing about niching down, right? Like, that's something I saw when I first came out onto it's a social media. Yes. And I was just, everyone was like, fucking niche down, niche, you got a niche, you got a niche. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I don't believe in that too much. Like, I get it to a point of, like, marketing yourself from a niche is much easier. Again, I market myself as a logo designer, but I don't know about niching yourself to, like, I actually only just do those things, because that's just fucking boring, dude. That sucks. Like, if I know exactly what I'm going to be doing every day for the next 60 days, what's the point? Why am I living? Like, if I know what next Tuesday looks like, sucks. Bored.
Yep.
Bored of that.
Yeah.
I'm not excited when I get there. I like a surprise. I like surprises. Yes. And opening up your creative kind of toolbox gives you surprises because you never know what you're going to work on next, which is fun.
Yes. Well, I mean, going on your site, the thing I like watch. Okay, so your case studies, and I told you I was going to definitely talk. We haven't even talked about anybody else's, but yours. I mean, I'm digging some of these case studies, and they go past the logo, which is what I love because it takes that logo, puts it in the real world. So okay, so wait, like the two. The one who is it? The pickled.
Pig.
The logo is fucking brilliant.
Yes.
Thank you, dude. I love that.
Even before I saw what the name of it, I immediately understood it was a pig and it was a pickle. Like, it was just because, and again, it's just instant for me. So, I mean, again, usually we tell people not to try so hard to make, you know, logos tell a whole story, but it does it perfectly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the pickled pig.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great, dude, you've nailed this because I'm usually a big believer, you know, from being a logo designer is to not design obvious. But in some cases, there is a way of doing it that I think tastefully still does it. And when I had the job come through and it was called Pickled Pig, there was no way this thing wasn't going to be a pig that'd been pickled. There was no way. There's no other mark on this planet that's going to tell that story of that name better than pickling a pig. It's too good. When you read the word pickled pig, it's beautiful. It's fun to say.
It is.
I enjoy saying it. And what does your brain immediately do? Pickled pig. Are you talking about pickling a pig? So then when I see a mark that has a pickled pig, it just all comes together. So there's definitely a time and place to do that and to be obvious with logo marks and design. And it was fantastic. So they wanted to create this, like, high-end style of a, you know, in the UK.
And that's it.
This is the thing. In the UK, they've done, like, it's been done to death, like the barbecue scene over here. Now I'm a big barbecue. Okay. I used to be a chef and I love barbecuing. I love smoking meats and all that good stuff, right? But we're in the UK. We don't do it very well. I'm not going to lie. We suck at it. And you know, there's some good barbecue restaurants out there, but there's a wash of it. Like, it's basically just burnt wooden walls, you know, burnt fucking flame logos on shit. Like, everyone's done it. It's all the same shit. They were like, let's make a barbecue restaurant, but let's go a little bit premium. Let's go a little bit cheeky with it. Let's go a bit mischievous. And so that's what we did. And we created this mark that was, and this entire palette of, like, colors that were like these super dark greens instead. Like, everything was either browns and black, browns and blacks, browns and fucking blacks. Everyone was doing this. So, like, okay, well, green has never been used in barbecue here in the UK.
Right.
Let's go with green. Green feels like that darker, deep green, which is obviously pickle color, is also super premium, really rich, really, like, oh God, it just juicy. Yeah. And then there was all these other things. They wanted to make beer, and there was, like, pilsners and, like, making all these other lovely things. I was like, oh, we could have, like, a pickle pilsner. And, like, it was just, we just created all this stuff together. And it was the beautiful thing about that project is that they let me create all the words and all the other little things that come out at the other end of it as well. Like, all the other sayings, like, you know, pig, that I think one of them was like, I'm a pretty pig deal. And just, like, stupid, like, it was like the perfect gig for me. Cause I love, like, stupid puns being tongue in cheek and, like, you know, shit like that. And they were just fully open to having this very cheeky mentality and tone. So it just lent itself so well to that world. And, you know, that's, and that gig alone, like doing that and sharing that, opened up so many doors of people like in the food industry. Again, like I fucking love food so much. I love cooking food. So like, if I get to work on anything to do with beer and food, fuck, dude, I'm in. They could say, look, we haven't really got much of a budget. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. It's like, I'm in. I
but you're in.
Yeah, because it's, I love that world so much, and I know that world so much. Yeah. So
the great thing about that one, and honestly, the thing that I was so impressed with, is it could have so easily got tacky or cheesy, but you actually were able to take a fucking pig and a pickle and combine that shit in an elegant fashion that it's both like you said, it's cheeky, but it's high end. Like,
you don't
get that it's cheesy. No. You don't get that it's just like a rib place or like a wing and rib place. You did a fucking great job on that.
Dude, thank you so much.
That was brilliant.
Thank you guys so much.
The other one was, hold on. I have it here. I even had it up. Oh, the Oscar and Aldi's. So again, you get another opportunity for food on this one, right?
Dude,
in this case study, I mean, dude, that T-shirt, I have to have that T-shirt with the chicken. Dude, like, look at this thing.
Good story. This is an awesome, lovely little story. So that guy, client is the same client that I did 10 years ago for the Paradise Luxury Dog Retreat logo. So that logo.
No way.
You know what happened to his pets.
Circle thing, right? So that first day in that agency where they were like, look, we got a client coming in and he has this dog kennels place and it's super luxury. Can you design this brand for him? I did that. That was 10 years ago, right? Did that for him. That's that gig that I did for free for him got me the job in an agency, which is amazing.
Amazing.
All these years go by, I go off and do some other stuff. He reached out to me at the end of the year before, which that sounds fucking terrible when I say it like that. Basically about a year before. He reached out to me, had this lovely, like, again, he lives on this wonderful farm where he has like all these other things as well. Also used to be a chef himself and had this beautiful seasoning company, but had literally zero budget to kind of get this thing going. And I was like, dude, I'm just in. Like, I want to be a part of this thing. I want to get stuck in. I really like this gig. I really like what it's about. You were the first, like, your logo, like the opportunity I had 10 years ago to work on your other brand years ago, which he still literally hasn't changed. Same logo, 10 years later, looks awesome, super stoked with it. And he's like, yeah, can you help me with this? Basically, he has two grandsons, Oscar and Ollie, wants to give something back to those guys. He's like, can you just help me put together kind of an identity and some packaging? So that's what we went away and did, dude. And I got to go away and I ate a shit ton of food because I got to try all the seasoning. Just my entire cupboards were filled with his seasoning, which just everything got covered in. And that was awesome because I got to print and make stuff, and we got to do it on like lush card and like real brown crafty cards for his farm and stuff, and just do all these lovely colors and illustrations and things. So that was like a full round kind of thing. I did his Shopify store for him, and I literally just tried to do anything I could to kind of get him set up and get him out to the world with his idea. And we're like, go for it, dude. And and he's nailed it, and off he goes. And he's now in like all these major farm shops here in the UK, like,
that's awesome.
Like crazy high quality farm shops. They're beautiful and always packed. Like, it's so, obviously that's beautiful for me as a designer. I get to walk around, I go around a farm shop and I'm like, oh,
that's right,
that's my packaging. That's beautiful.
I did that.
So yeah, that's
how you got your girlfriend, isn't it? You took her to a place like that on your first 100%. Date and was like, hey, guess what?
I got my girlfriend because of food. Like, so she ate like an idiot. She ate like the worst food ever. She would have like rice and hot dogs and like stick them together and be like, that's a meal. And I was like, no. Like, how are you not dead? I'm going to look after you. And I cook her good food now. So she's actually a fantastic cook now. She's learned so much. She cooks amazing shit. But Jesus, she's decent. Terrible stuff, man. Terrible stuff.
Hot dogs and rice.
Put a little bit of ketchup on that. It's done. No,
literally, that's what she used to do. Let's not talk about it. It was horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous.
Okay. Sounds pretty scary. And I think that that's just the right spot for today to finish off. You know, the cool thing about doing what we do, and this is the byproduct of having this podcast, is that we actually get to talk to these people. We have these conversations with these, you know, who I would call, I mean, I refer to them as celebrities, social celebrities or graphic designer celebrities. But it's like, you know, we hear them, we follow them, we see what they have to say, and they make us laugh, and they teach us so much. And we always have this idea of what they're like. And then when we actually talk to them,
we find these people behind the social feed. Like, we find out about their struggles and their triumphs and what their road to success actually look like. And the cool thing is, I mean, it's cool, but it's unfortunate. But the funny common, you know, thread between all of them is that that road to success hasn't been paved, you know, with gold bricks for literally any of our cool guests, you know, whoever they were. And I mean, it's unfortunate that we all have to go through it, but man, does it make these people real and make these people human. And it does make us feel that, you know, we're not alone struggling in the shit that we actually do go through in this industry. But it's that pursuit of passion, that love for what we do that makes us persevere. So you guys have to come back for part two, you know, for next week's episode, because honestly, there's so much more to learn about this guy. He is a riot, okay? I don't think I enjoyed everybody's podcast, but this guy had us in stitches. And man, I don't think you guys have ever seen me so speechless throughout one of these. So man, can this guy talk? But that's what we love about this guy. So please return next week. Check us out on Instagram because, you know, we're having great conversations with people. You know, it gives us a chance to view every one of our followers, check out, you know, your work. You know, we say hi, we thank everybody, and join in those conversations because, I mean, they're hilarious sometimes. I love our angry designers. And of course, we're on YouTube. You know, say hi there and check us out. And then share our podcast with anybody that you love or hate, hopefully love, and spread the love. You know, please spread the angry designer love. On behalf of our guest CJ, Sean, and myself, stay creative and stay angry. Peace.